The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 35, verses 1 through 10. The wilderness and the dry land shall be glad. The desert shall rejoice and blossom like the crocus. It shall blossom abundantly and rejoice with joy and singing. The glory of Lebanon shall be given to it, the majesty of Carmel and Sharon. They shall see the glory of God, the majesty of our God. Strengthen the weak hands and make firm the feeble knees. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance, with the recompense of God. He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water, and the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. And a highway shall be there, and it shall be called the way of holiness. The unclean shall not pass over it. It shall belong to those who walk on the way, even if they are fools, they shall not go astray. No lion shall be there, nor shall any ravenous beast come upon it. They shall not be found there, but the redeemed shall walk there. And the ransomed of the Lord shall return and come to Zion with singing. Everlasting joy shall be upon their heads. They shall obtain gladness and joy, and sorrow and sighing shall flee away. This is the word of the Lord. The epistle comes from James chapter 5, verses 7 through 11. Be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it, until it receives the early and the late rains. You also be patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. Do not grumble against one another, brothers, so that you may not be judged. Behold, the judge is standing at the door. As an example of suffering and patience, brothers, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Behold, we consider those blessed who remain steadfast. You have heard of the steadfastness of Job, and you have seen the purpose of the Lord, how the Lord is compassionate and merciful. This is the word of the Lord.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter. When John heard in prison about the deeds of the Christ, he sent word by his disciples and said to him, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" And Jesus answered them, "Go and tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive their sight, and the lame walk. Lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up. And the poor have good news preached to them, and blessed is the one who is not offended by me." As they went away, Jesus began to speak to the crowds concerning John. "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? What then did you go out to see? A man dressed in soft clothing? Behold, those who wear soft clothing are in king's houses. What then did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet. This is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Truly I say to you, among those born of women, there has arisen no one greater than John the Baptist. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. The text for today's message was the gospel lesson. Have you ever been surprised in a negative way? Something didn't turn out quite as you expected. If you think back to people have great expectations back in high school of prom night, and it doesn't live up to its expectations. or you get a new house or a new car, and it just doesn't live up to your expectations either. Or you spent years with a person who repeatedly makes stupid decisions, and you wonder, is this really what I got myself into? Life is full of surprises. You choose a job, and it's not quite what you expected. You have a child, and again, it's not quite what you expected. Anyone who's committed to God finds surprises all the time. Surprises that God allows certain things to happen and forbids other things. The gospel lesson is about John the Baptist. And before John was born, the angel told his father Zechariah that he would be a great preacher and would lead many back to the Lord. Zechariah laughed at the angel and was muted until John was born, and he had to write on a tablet, his name is John. Then he got his voice back. But I'm sure John the Baptist, as he was growing up, heard that story many times. But by the time of the gospel lesson, John's parents are dead. He's living in a desert, not quite what he expected. His clothes were camel hair, and he ate locusts. Yuck. Even if they're chocolate covered, I don't think I would like locusts. But that's what John had. But then things changed. We read, in the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius Caesar, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod, tetrarch of Galilee, his brother Philip, tetrarch of Iturea and Trachonitis, and Licinius, tetrarch of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went into all the country around the Jordan, preaching a baptism of repentance and the forgiveness of sins. The promise made by the angel to his father Zechariah had finally taken place. You know, one of the problems I think we have, we ask God for something and then we expect it to happen tomorrow. We don't have the patience to wait. John had to wait 25 years of his life before that promise was fulfilled. Our job is just to get ready for the Lord to act in any way that he chooses. And John was preparing the way for the coming of the Lord. He was preaching up a storm. As far as his popularity, he was the New Testament version of, say, a Joel Osteen, which, you know, I don't really like that much. I'm just talking about his popularity, not his message. Because John's message was repentance, for repentance and forgiveness of sins. John told the religious leaders they had to change their way of living. He told them that they were like snakes in a grass fire trying to flee the coming fire. He told the crowds, the tax collectors and soldiers, you better change what you're doing. Quit your lying and quit your stealing. Start loving people as God would have you love them. Hell is just around the corner, John would preach. And if you don't change, you're headed for it. And people came from all over Israel to hear John preach at the Jordan River. And they fell on their knees in repentance. He baptized so many that that's why he gets the name John the Baptist. But John was not the Messiah. People thought he was. Because of the way he was preaching and the crowds he was drawing, surely he had to be the Messiah. And John was very clear, I am not the Messiah. He's coming after me. I'm preparing his way. I'm not even worthy to untie the sandals on his feet. Then when John saw Jesus come down to the river to be baptized, John proclaimed, behold, the Lamb of God. John could say, I saw a dove descend upon him at his baptism, and a voice came down from heaven, this is my beloved son, listen to him. Some of John's disciples, though, followed Jesus. Peter and Andrew originally had been disciples of John the Baptist. But when John the Baptist was killed, then Andrew and Peter followed Jesus, and we know their story from there. John was sent to prepare the way for Jesus. You know, let's try that again in English. When John started to prepare the way for Jesus, people began to follow Jesus and less of John. His popularity decreased while Jesus' popularity increased. But John was happy for this. He didn't resent the fact that his popularity was on the wane, because he said that he must increase and I must decrease. But then John got himself into trouble. I can't imagine ever doing that from the pulpit. But he preached about marriage and divorce. And then he went after King Herod himself. Herod had an affair with his brother's wife and then married her. Now, the religious leaders were very unhappy with this, but they didn't dare say anything because of the fear of the wife, Herodias. What a name for a woman, huh? Herod's wife is Herodias. Like, can't you guys come up with more original names than that? But that's the Herod family. The religious leaders were afraid to say anything because of Herodias, but not John. John would see a sin, and he called a sin a sin. You know, if there had been reporters at that day recording this, they would have asked John, "Do you stand by your accusations?" And the headlines of the paper would have read, "Wild preacher from the desert takes on King Herod and his wife." Well, King Herod couldn't put up with the criticism of he and his wife, so he had John thrown into prison. Imagine, 8 months goes by and John's still sitting in prison. And he'd been hearing what Jesus had been doing, preaching in the area. Now imagine 18 months later, John's still sitting in prison. Gets a little hard to believe that God's still in charge when you've been faithful to him and you're still rotting in a prison after 18 months. I wonder how many times John cried out, "Oh Lord, have you forgotten me?" John called some of his disciples together and wanted to know, was Jesus the one that they were to seek, or were they to look for someone else? And John's disciples would have reported, "He's entirely different than you, John. You are very serious and somber. This Jesus, he goes to wedding parties, and he eats with sinners, and he makes prostitutes feel welcomed. And between the tax collectors and sinners, this is the people that he chooses to hang out with. He hugs little children, and he doesn't talk about King Herod." We don't have anywhere recorded in the Gospels where Jesus was critical of King Herod. I guess he left that for John to do. But John asked his disciples, "Ask Jesus, is he the one, or are we to seek another?" I'm wondering if John wasn't thinking, if he is the one, why can't he free me from prison? But Jesus knows that John needs a word of encouragement. He says to John's disciples, go and see and tell John what you have seen and heard. How the blind receive their sight, the lame walk, leprosy is cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. And then Jesus says, "Blessed is the one who does not fall away on account of me." I can imagine John's disciples want to say, "Just speak plainly. Are you the one or not?" And Jesus says, "Go and tell John, and John will understand what I'm talking about." Because John understood Isaiah 61. "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from the darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn." John's circumstances was not what he expected them to be. Jesus didn't send word that soon, John, you're going to be released from prison. But John's faith was kept alive because he remembered God's faithfulness throughout all of time and to John personally. You know, sometimes we don't like the circumstances we find ourselves into, but we have to remind ourselves of the faithfulness of God, that he is there and he is in control. But we want prayer answered in a very specific way, or a spectacular way. Think of the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the Old Testament when they got cast into the furnace. I'm sure they were praying on their way in. What a spectacular answer to a prayer. They walk out of the fire completely unharmed. Or when Daniel was in the lion's den and prayed, talking about a spectacular answer to a prayer. See, that's the answers we want. It's God to act in some spectacular way in our lives. But God answers prayers in ways we don't expect. As John prayed for deliverance, there was a party going on, and the guests were getting really drunk. And Herod's stepdaughter comes out and performs a very erotic dance, let's say. And lusting after his own stepdaughter, King Herod says, "Ask for me anything, and I swear I'll give it to you. You can ask me for up to half my kingdom, and it will be yours." So she went and sought the advice of her mother, Herodias. Now, Herodias was not satisfied that John was sitting in prison for close to 2 years. She wanted John dead. So it's exactly what she asked for, John's head to be served up on a platter. And King Herod had to grant this request, because otherwise he would have lost face in the sight of his guests, and he just couldn't do that. So he has John the Baptist executed. I've oftentimes wondered if the daughter and Herodias had horrible nightmares afterwards, but the Bible doesn't record that at all. But it would be justice in one way. Now, can we make any sense out of John's death? Can we make sense out of everything that happens to us? No. John stood for the Lord. He stood on his principles and what the word of the Lord said, and he lost his life for a sexy dance. And I don't know why Jesus didn't get John out of prison. John stood firmly on the truth. He didn't bow to peer pressure at all. But instead of walking out of prison, John flew with the angels up to heaven. As John was faithful in the desert, John was also faithful in prison. Our faith can see us through any circumstances or things that life throw at us. John never lost the realization that he was but a servant in the hands of a loving God. John's ministry was to prepare the way of Jesus. Now, he never knew that he would just have a short life. John probably only lived to be about age 26, 27 years old. But if John would have been asked, "Was a short life worth everything that you have seen?" John would have said, "I wouldn't have missed it for the world." When Jesus comes into the life of a person, it's not always the way we expect it to be. The gospel of Jesus Christ can be summed up in these very familiar words. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men love darkness instead of light, because their deeds were evil." So may the peace of God, which is above all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds focused on Jesus Christ to life everlasting. Amen.